Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, When Cultures Collide, Leading Across Cultures by Richard D. Lewis is a major work in cross-cultural management, international business communication, and global leadership, first known for introducing the Lewis model. The book explains how national and regional cultures shape expectations about time, hierarchy, conversation, trust, negotiation, and decision-making. Its purpose is practical rather than purely theoretical. Lewis gives managers, diplomats, consultants, trainers, and globally mobile professionals a framework for anticipating friction when people from different cultural backgrounds work together. The fourth edition updates the earlier classic for a business environment shaped by emerging markets, distributed teams, and intensified global interdependence. The book is not a narrow etiquette manual. It is a broad comparative guide to how people organize work, interpret respect, build relationships, and respond to authority. Its continuing influence comes from combining a simple cultural typology with many country-level observations, making it a frequently cited reference in intercultural training and international management. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Lewis model organizes cultures into linear active, multi-active, and reactive patterns. The central contribution of When Cultures Collide is the Lewis model, a three-part framework for comparing cultural behavior. Linear active cultures are presented as task-oriented, scheduled, direct, and sequential. People in these environments often value planning, punctuality, factual argument, and clear division between personal and professional matters. Multi-active cultures are described as more relationship-oriented, expressive, flexible with time, and comfortable handling several matters at once. In these settings, trust may develop through personal warmth, conversation, and social continuity rather than through schedules alone. Reactive cultures are characterized by listening, courtesy, indirectness, and careful response. Communication often proceeds through patience, deference, and attention to context rather than immediate verbal assertion. The value of this model lies in its usability. It gives readers a mental map for noticing why behavior that seems efficient in one setting can seem cold, rude, chaotic, evasive, or insensitive in another. Lewis does not reduce all people to these categories, but he uses them to make recurring cultural tendencies visible enough for managers to adapt before conflict escalates. Secondly, different assumptions about time and conversation create predictable workplace friction. A major theme of the book is that many intercultural problems arise not from incompetence, but from incompatible expectations about how work should proceed. Time is one of the clearest examples. Linear active professionals may treat an agenda, deadline, or meeting sequence as a sign of discipline and respect. Multi-active counterparts may treat the same rigidity as impersonal if it prevents relationship building or ignores the emotional priority of the moment. Reactive counterparts may require more time for reflection, consultation, and indirect signaling before they offer a position. Conversation creates similar friction. Direct speech can be valued as honesty in one culture, and experienced as bluntness in another. Silence can be read as disengagement by some, and as respect or careful consideration by others. Lewis shows that these differences affect ordinary business routines such as meetings, presentations, email, feedback, and problem solving. The practical lesson is that communication effectiveness depends on cultural fit, not merely clarity. A message can be logically clear yet socially ineffective if it violates local expectations about pacing, tone, turn-taking, or respect. Thirdly, leadership must adapt to local expectations of authority, trust, and decision-making. Lewis treats leadership as culturally conditioned rather than universally uniform. The book challenges the idea that a single leadership style can travel unchanged across borders. In some business cultures, leaders gain credibility by setting targets, giving direct instructions, using data, and holding individuals accountable for results. In others, leadership depends more heavily on personal presence, persuasive conversation, loyalty networks, and the ability to maintain relationships. In reactive cultures, a respected leader may be expected to listen extensively, preserve harmony, avoid public confrontation, and guide consensus through indirect influence. These differences matter because followers interpret the same behavior through different cultural standards. A decisive manager may be admired as efficient in one environment and criticized as impatient in another. A consultative manager may be praised as respectful in one place and judged as uncertain in another. The book encourages leaders to separate core goals from habitual style. Strategic objectives may remain constant, but methods of motivating teams, resolving disagreement, delivering feedback, and making decisions should be adjusted to the cultural context in which authority is understood. Fourthly, negotiation success depends on reading relationship, hierarchy, and indirect signals, the book gives sustained attention to negotiation because cross-cultural differences become especially visible when parties seek agreement under pressure. Lewis emphasizes that negotiators do not only exchange offers, they also perform culturally meaningful acts of respect, trust building, status recognition, and face management. A linear active negotiator may prefer a structured sequence to define issues, compare facts, narrow options, and close efficiently. A multi-active negotiator may place more weight on personal rapport, emotional energy, hospitality, and flexibility as talks unfold. A reactive negotiator may observe carefully, avoid premature commitment, consult internally, and communicate reservations indirectly. Misreading these styles can lead to serious errors. Silence may not mean consent. Extended social conversation may not be wasted time. A refusal may be softened to preserve dignity rather than made explicit. Lewis therefore advises preparation that goes beyond price, contract terms, and legal detail. Effective negotiation requires attention to who speaks, who decides, how disagreement is signaled, how trust is earned, and how much time must pass before a commitment can be considered stable. Lastly, the framework is useful only when applied with caution against stereotyping. A responsible reading of When Cultures Collide must recognize both its usefulness and its limits. The Lewis model is powerful because it simplifies a large amount of cultural information into patterns that can guide preparation. Yet cultural categories can become misleading if they are treated as fixed rules about individuals. People vary by region, profession, generation, education, organization, personality, language experience, and exposure to international work. A German entrepreneur, a Brazilian engineer, a Japanese executive, and an American academic may not behave exactly as national summaries predict. Lewis offers a starting point for inquiry, not a substitute for observation. The best use of the book is diagnostic and provisional. It helps readers form hypotheses about possible expectations, then test those hypotheses through listening and adaptation. This distinction is central to ethical intercultural competence. The aim is not to label people before meeting them, but to reduce cultural blind spots and avoid assuming that familiar behavior is universal. Used carefully, the model promotes humility because it reminds readers that normal business conduct is culturally shaped. In conclusion, When Cultures Collide is especially valuable for managers, executives, negotiators, consultants, expatriates, international sales teams, trainers, and students of intercultural communication. Readers who work across borders can use it to prepare for meetings, diagnose misunderstandings, and adapt leadership practices without abandoning business objectives. Its intellectual benefit is that it makes culture visible as a system of expectations rather than a list of customs. Its practical benefit is that it connects those expectations to concrete workplace activities such as planning, presenting, negotiating, giving feedback, building trust, and making decisions. The book stands out for many works in the cross-cultural management category because of the clarity and portability of the Lewis model. Some books focus mainly on etiquette, while others remain abstract or academic. Lewis offers a middle path, broad comparative analysis, supported by an accessible framework that professionals can remember and apply. Its limitation is the risk of overgeneralization, so the strongest readers will treat it as a guide to questions rather than a catalog of certainties. Even with that caution, the book remains distinctive because it gives global business readers a structured vocabulary for explaining why competent people from different cultures can still misread one another. If you would like to support Richard Lewis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.